White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 623.
Hey, this is Stan White, and you're listening to the AU Wishbone.
You are listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
Bye-bye, Bo! Touchdown, Auburn!
The kick is good! Auburn wins! Shivers just ran through a man! Touchdown, Auburn!
Hello, and welcome to AU Wishbone, brought to you, as always, by White Rocket Entertainment, and also by people like you, the Auburn family, the AU Wishbone family, our very own Patreon.com family. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
John, we are back. We are back in a period of time now where the A-Day game has come and gone, spring football has come and gone, and now we just sit back and wait for Bruce to reel in that one more five-star player for our basketball team. We wait to see if we get anybody else through the portal for the football team. We wait and see if we recruit any freshmen for the football team. And otherwise, we wait for fall.
It's the long, dark tea time of the soul in the offseason.
I hate to think of the summer as like a long, dark time, especially a long, dark tea time.
I was going to say, this is the time to get away from it, right? Like to let go a little bit. You know, we've just gone through a long football season, which was, you know,
not exactly what we would have hoped for.
Not joy filled. And then a long basketball season, which was incredibly fun for the most part, but which was also stressful and long. And so now you're not in the middle of that. And there are other sports going on. We just had a great gymnastics, went to the Final Four this weekend. The baseball team's doing great, all that kind of stuff. But in terms of things we focus on in this podcast, we're in the off season, and so I think it's important for fans to let go sometimes and to step away a little bit and get outside, refresh yourself, decompress from it. Because before you know it, like you say with the season, when it starts, it's over quickly. Yeah. Before you know it, it's going to be Labor Day. We're going to be kicking off.
It's the truth. And then we blink our eyes and the season's half over. That's the way it always goes. And meanwhile, we just get older and older. The whole thing is crazy and really, frankly, needs to stop. It needs to slow down a little bit.
Whoever thought of that, I have notes.
Yeah, not a good idea. I tell you, it was a weird weekend. We didn't have, you know, we kind of crammed everything in sports-wise a week ago. We had, you know, the Masters and a Formula One race, an IndyCar race, and baseball
and
stuff. Yeah, and A-Day, all that stuff going on. Whereas this past weekend, all we really had that I paid any attention to was the USFL beginning its new incarnation, which I'm very excited about. Glad to see the Birmingham Stallions off to a 1-0 start and leading the entire league. But that's about it. That's a sad state of affairs when that's pretty much all you got. So no Formula One race means no new update to the fantasy Formula One standings. I'm sure everyone's disappointed about that, but you won't have to hear about that this week. But we do have a couple other things going on that you might be interested in hearing before we're done with today. But otherwise, how are you doing, sir? Haven't asked.
I'm well, thank you. I'm hanging in there, like everybody else. Had a enjoyed beautiful spring weather here this weekend, and so doing okay. How you doing, man?
Good, yeah. I've got the Windy City Pulp Con coming up in a couple of weeks, and I've got the end of the semester coming up in a couple of weeks, which is exciting. And I'm going to do the St. Louis Comic Con this year too. So I got several things coming up that I'll be talking about as we get closer. If anybody's around and wants to come out and see me and hang out. But otherwise, I guess we have a few off-season topics to talk about. There were some things that were bandied about on Twitter this week that we wanted to kind of dig into a little bit. We also have a special guest appearance coming tonight, so that should be fun, I hope, theoretically. On paper, it should be fun. We'll see.
So, the goal of everything is in this podcast is it should be fun.
Absolutely. That's what we're here for. So where should we start tonight?
We have a list that I've titled it Critically Important Off-Season Topics.
Okay. Well, that sounds
and
like the place to start.
They are.
Critically
and
important.
So, topic number one is a discussion that you referenced that happened online about the initials of some universities. And this is in our wheelhouse. This has us written all over it.
It does.
So the question is, why are some schools called by their initials and some schools called by the reverse of their initials?
Now, see, I wasn't aware this was even a thing because my in-depth knowledge of it started and stopped with Indiana being Indiana University and Illinois being University of Illinois, so that where I am living here in Southern Illinois, I hear U of I a lot as opposed to IU, which is what they say in Indiana. So based on that, I assumed everybody was nice and logical and went by the actual order that it comes in. I was astonished this week to realize for the first time in my life, I mean, I probably kind of knew it in the back of my head, but never put two and two together. But I was astonished to learn that OU stands for University of Oklahoma. What? Where do they get off with that?
Because UO is Oregon.
Well, I'm sorry, Oklahoma, that there's more than one state that starts with an O. I mean, there's actually a bunch. But you know, Ohio would have a few, if Ohio had a, I don't know what the University of Ohio calls itself. They're a very small, they're not like.
I'm checking on this right now.
These are burning questions we have to have the answer to. But where in the Sam Hill does Oklahoma get off calling themselves OU? I guess, you know what it is whenever I saw the University of Oklahoma, I didn't really think about their helmet. And whenever I saw their helmet with the OU, I just kind of went, oh, yeah, that's Oklahoma. I've seen that my entire life. And so I never, like, stopped and thought, wait a minute, why does it say OU? Is it the University of Kansas? Do they do the same thing, I guess? It's not Kansas University. It's Kansas State University, and they're KSU. So KU.
It's definitely KU.
Yes, yeah, definitely KU, which again, is D-U-M-B.
Kentucky is
U-K. Yes. Well, what would be really funny is if it was Kentucky University and they were UK and it was University of Kansas and they were KU. But that's just crazy. And then is it University of Colorado? Because they definitely go CU.
Yes, it's University of Colorado.
Oh, my gosh. What is with these former Big Eight schools? Those are all former Big Eight schools, aren't they?
It's definitely University of Nebraska also, and they're NU.
Oh, for crying out. Yeah, it was the Big Eight. It's looking like it's the Big Eight. Nebraska,
see,
Oklahoma.
It's a Big Eight problem.
It's a Big Eight problem. I'm getting glad they blew that conference up. Unfortunately, they took the affliction with them when they went to other places. Yeah, because it was the Big Eight, right? It was Kansas, it was Nebraska, it's Oklahoma, and Colorado. Those were all Big Eight. Was Missouri Moo? They're Mizzou, but I don't know they call themselves U of M either though. I think it's a Big Eight. I think we found the pattern here. We got the red yarn on the wall right behind us, connecting all the dots, and all those dots are connecting to the former Big Eight. That's the problem. I'm glad they blew that conference up. I wish they'd blown it up even more so they solved this stupid problem. Well, I feel like we found some answers here tonight. I don't know if they're any help. I don't know if it's any use.
Listen, there were people lying awake at night on podcast listeners thinking about this topic, and we just helped them. We helped people.
We did.
That's what we do.
Yeah, we do. We shed some light where there was only darkness before.
That's right.
And I feel good about it. All right. Well, I think that that was useful. Let's see. There was also a question talking about Oklahoma. I think some of this connects back to them coming into the SEC as well. And part of it was also, you know, I did that tweet last week that like blew up. It's not that I'm bragging about it or anything, because I didn't have that much to do with it blowing up. People just for whatever reason kind of liked it or whatever. But that thing got like 200,000 interactions and just hundreds of likes and stuff. I've never had a tweet do that, and it was just my dumb little SEC divisions. Dogs, cats, people, and nature, and random animals, you know, and people.
It was a good idea for 40 divisions.
Somebody changed. Somebody said that instead of random animals, it should be grilled meats, which I thought was good and fits our thing, right? Fits our show. Grilled or barbecued meats. I guess grilled because alligator would be grilled, you know. I guess that's true. Smoked meats would be good because it's chicken and pig and beef and alligator. Yeah, so smoked meats, that's good. But anyway, that one, somebody that led to the question of where does Oklahoma fit in? Because they have a horse, but they're the Sooners. But what is a Sooner? It's a person like a Hoosier and a Jayhawk. You know, again, it's this Big Eight problem where they. Well, I guess the Indiana's the Big Ten, but it's this same issue where these people out there have nothing, they have time on their hands, they come up with this dumb stuff. But when I think about the Jayhawks and Hoosiers and Sooners, I think about that bit, I don't remember the exact line anymore, but isn't it in Outlaw Josie Wales where the old lady is like, I knew some Hoosiers back in wherever and they were a bunch of sons of, you know, whatever. She just was going off on the Hoosiers. That was so funny. I'm a Jayhawk myself, you know, whatever. But yeah, so what is the mascot? And I said, I added to this this was Pablo Escobarner was involved in this, mm-hmm. a couple of others. And I added to it, I said, why is your mascot a guy in a horse suit? Is he supposed to be pulling the wagon? Isn't that like if Georgia Tech's mascot in a suit was dressed like the car mechanic working on the Ramblin' Wreck? I don't understand. You could.
No, it would be like if the Georgia Tech mascot was the engine.
Yeah, that's even better. Yeah, like a old motor, guy in a motor suit comes out and runs around going, vroom, vroom, vroom. I didn't think of that. I always struggle to come up with analogies, even though I always like to do it. And that's a very good one. So with the motor, that's good. So yeah, I'm not quite sure. I mean, you know, when your mascot is an animal, it's pretty simple unless you complicate it a little bit like we do. But and by the way, I included Alabama in people and nature. And they're like, well, but they're random animals. They have an elephant. I'm like, whether they have an elephant or not, their thing is the Crimson Tide. They can put whatever animal in a suit they want to run around, but there's nothing in their nickname that says elephant. No. And in fact, this is what kills me too, is right, we get so much crap, and I've been down this road before, but allow me for just a second. We get so much crap for having the tiger and saying war eagle, but they are the Crimson Tide. They don't even say like go elephant that would explain the other animal or the other thing. Their elephant just is out of nowhere. I know where it comes from. I do know the story. I'm just saying I don't care because our war eagle is something that we say. But the thing that they say still references the tide. There's nothing that they say or do that has anything to do with an elephant. They just have an elephant out there. And so some Alabama guy's like, well, we have an elephant. I'm like, you don't have an elephant. You stick an elephant out there, but, you know, that's like Ole Miss sticking the Admiral Akbar out there. And honestly, Admiral Akbar has more to do with Ole Miss because he's a rebel. Whereas the elephant has nothing to do with the tide. What does the elephant have to do with movements of bodies of water?
Maybe he washed ashore.
He'd wash back out to shore. Jeez. Well, anyway, I didn't know I had such anger in me. But it's when the dang Alabama people get involved in anything that it starts going to crap and starts bringing me indigestion and heartburn and having to get it off my chest. So
you could have stopped when you said when they get involved, it goes to crap.
You're right. That's right. All right, we have another. We have just some random stuff tonight. This should be fun. We have another little random bit here. You found an interesting ranking.
Yes.
All right.
So this is from a guy named Brian Freemail, who writes he does these rankings called the FEI rankings. I've referenced them on this podcast before. They're the other major, I think, easy to understand if access power ranking other than Bill Connolly's. Rank SP Plus, which is now at ESPN. And so Brian Freeman has a website. It's called BCF Toys or whatever, but he also writes on Football Outsiders. And so he tweeted this the other day, and I went back and looked at the numbers he was tweeting out. And basically what he did is he took all the games for like the past 20 years, and he has his statistical model looks at series by series. And we've talked about this in the past in reference to specific Auburn teams that were better on a series by series basis than kind of on a play by play basis. Mm-hmm. And his looks at series by series, and then he actually calculates kind of a numerical value to show how well you played, like how well you did drive by drive, completing your drives and stopping the other team, and it's opponent adjusted. So it values how well, if you played great against Georgia Southern or whatever, not Georgia Southern, but you know, a 1AA team, it doesn't care. Like it wants, if you play really well against a top 10 team, then it really matters exponentially more. So he ranked all the performances on an absolute level by every team over the last 20 years, and then he filtered out all the games that they won. So all that was left was the games that teams lost and how well they played on this metric. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Okay.
The top two games on left on this metric.
This is going to hurt me all over again. Don't say it.
It is.
Let's just end the segment here.
I have to keep going, okay? If you're still scarred by this, you may want to skip.
Folks, when John says this, all I can think is...
My brother is possessed by the devil and must be examined.
That's all I can say when he does this. Go ahead, devil.
All right, the top two games by any team in college football in the last 20 years in a losing effort. Number one... Auburn in the 2013 National Championship game against Florida State.
Come on. Come on, man.
And number two, Auburn at LSU in 2019.
Blame yourself.
If somebody had asked us to look for what Auburn's two performances that would stand out like that would be, I might have come up with those two.
Yes, because the team... They were really high-quality opponents, obviously.
They were both national champions.
Both national champions. They were both, you know, really pretty good national champions, I think. And in both games, like, Auburn had a legitimate chance to win the game and played incredibly well.
Yeah.
And played much better than all the other teams that played that team.
Right. Yes, they certainly did. Nobody thought we had a chance in the Rose Bowl, and we should have won that game. Well,
forget that.
Yeah. How about this? Well, in a losing effort, this past year's Iron Bowl, on the one, I can say I had two things. On the one hand, that was really playing the national runner-up, close down to the wire. But on the other hand, we really didn't play that well except on defense until the fourth quarter. So it's like... The outcome was almost there, which is a very, very, very narrow loss against a very, very, you know, good team. But we didn't do a lot, certainly on offense. If we had done anything on offense, we'd have won that game easily. So I don't know.
No, you're right. It's not the same.
Yeah. The defensive effort, I think, qualifies as one of the all-time in a losing effort, but not the overall effort, I guess.
That's right.
And I tell you, you know, you and I, we tried to get past that Iron Bowl last year quickly and move on and just say, well, you know, darn it, we tried and we were already in the middle of a losing streak and it was just one more loss and whatever. But you know, now, the last couple of weeks, as I've thought back on it for random reasons and look back on it, it bothers me more because we should have won it. We had, you know, we talked about that at the time. We had so many chances to win it, and we should have won that game.
We're winning at the end of the game, and we had the ball.
Yes.
All we needed to do was get a first down, and we win the game. And we couldn't get a first down.
Or just run the clock, really. I feel like we made a couple of decisions that if we had just, like, run the ball even without a first down, they couldn't have stopped it, right? But we threw the ball.
He ran out of bounds. He got ran out of bounds.
Oh, tank.
But I mean, that was, he kind of got pushed out of bounds. But
He did.
It came down to like a third and one, third and two kind of play.
Yeah.
That if we make it, we get a first down, we win the game, it's over, and we got nothing.
Yep. Well, we can wallow in our misery some more, but I've been thinking about it a little bit this week and thinking back and going, you know, we tried to forget it, and I'm all in favor of that up to a point. But on the other hand, I it's kind of like I don't want to forget because that, you know, that one was – and I try to console myself at the time, too, with the fact that I felt like I knew it was coming, right? I never thought we had that game put away. Never for a split second did I think we had that.
Sure.
I kept thinking they're going to come back, right? I've seen...
That was a really good team, and we scored. It was 10-10.
I was like, look, I was there for Van Tiffin's field goal in 85. You know, I've seen all these horrifying things happen. Nothing's going to shock me. And it didn't shock me, but it is disappointing. So, were there any other games on there that were of note or anything that jumps out at you? Or what do you think about that in a losing effort list?
I mean, again, some of the other games were games you probably remember, but there weren't any other Auburn games in the top 10 or 20 or so. But I just think those two by themselves stand out. And I think people have forgotten how close we came to that LSU team that
Yes.
destroyed everybody.
Oh, yeah. We're the only team they played the entire year that had a legitimate shot at beating them at the end, I think. They steamrolled Yes. everybody. But Yes. we remember if our running back, Williams, whatever, DJ Williams?
Yeah.
If he hadn't run out of bounds.
Run at the start of the second half, yeah.
And for no apparent reason, just ran out of bounds. I've never understood that. He just kind of like drifted over. It's like he was driving down the field and he fell asleep at the wheel and the car just went off into the
I think he was just tired shoulder. And he thought he was going to get caught or whatever.
Good gosh. Well, all right. Well, thanks a lot for that.
I was going to say, so I just ripped the scab off or whatever, yeah. or poked it. So does that bother you?
That's great. Thanks. No, I mean... Well, you know, I think some people, I get down in the mud of history and dig all through it and regurgitate it and write about it and everything else. So that's fine. But it is depressing to think of those two games. Those were two of our finer moments. You know, they were certainly two of our finer moments in a losing effort. That's for sure. I bet, you know, if you stretch it all the way back, that 85 Iron Bowl would have been up there because we scored mm-hmm. 23 points on them and lost, but we moved the ball really well and held them to 25 and, you know, 22 into that field goal. So that one would probably be up there. I guess based on the quality of the team, that when we took that Clemson team that was really good down to the wire and we had a crap team that was it 15 maybe or something or 16, I guess. One of those years we had a pretty mediocre team. And we took and Clemson was like a national champion or national champion runner up. Every other year they either won or lost the national championship game there for a while. But it was one of their better teams in the opening game, and it was the one where we took them down to the wire.
In 16, we lost 19-13.
Yeah,
to them at home.
I think that's the one.
Well, okay, no, it gets better because that's the it gets the where we kept, had the fullback.
The fullback spin
thing. The next year, 17, they were number four, and we lost in Clemson 14-6.
Yeah.
I remember we had the ball on the goal line at one point in that game.
Yeah. But again, how good they were and how close we played them, I feel like those would have been.
Yeah, those was a good game.
Those are somewhere on the list, yeah. So, all right. We have our ongoing series going position by position through the football team. So who are we up to now?
We are now up to the one position on offense that has a lot of depth, a lot of talent, and a lot of experience. That is the tight end.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I'm expecting our all tight. We're going to run like the five wide run and shoot with tight ends, all tight ends.
They're going to play.
Oh, yeah. And I mean,
oh,
by the way, speaking of which, and I don't guess he was a tight end, but he was kind of like a tight end. Sal Canella, I saw him playing for somebody this weekend. I forgot who he played for. He's in the USFL. He's playing for one of the USFL teams, and he looked good. He caught some passes, so he was kicking butt out there. That was cool. Maybe it was for New Orleans. I can't remember. I don't think he's with the Birmingham team. If they were smart. One thing that really surprised me, by the way, about the USFL teams is I figured they'd do something like they usually do in these teams where they, like, have local teams, local colleges get players mm-hmm. first, you know, and they'd have Auburn and Alabama players. But I didn't recognize anybody on the Birmingham or the New Jersey roster. Like, there was not a single player anywhere on the field that I had ever heard of on those teams. That kind of tells you the caliber of players that they've got, unfortunately. But all right, so we're looking at tight ends. Who have we got coming back?
We have a lot of guys coming back.
Yeah, we do.
A position of strength, though. So, John Samuel Schenker,
Jingleheimer
Schmidt.
Yep, that's it. From now on, from weeks ago on.
You know, and I was kind of surprised he came back, but he did. Tyler Fromm and Luke Deal.
They're kind of joined at the hip, those two. I'll always think of them together, like Cody Bliss and John Vaughn.
They are. They came in together. They're kind of similar. And then Brandon Frazier, kind of the most underutilized guy on this list, probably. And then Landon King, who I think most people see as kind of the future star.
Yeah. Kind of Walter Reeves or something.
The best receiver, maybe. I think he's C.J. Uzomah. I think that's
who Landon
King could be.
Yeah.
And then we signed a new player who's a freshman who's on campus now, Micah Riley Ducker, who's adding to this group. So that's a pretty good group.
That's six.
Yeah, six. Again, and like you're saying, at most, in a heavy formation, we're playing three, but a lot of times we're playing one or two.
Yeah. So, if we could trade like two of them for a good outside receiver or something, would be really cool.
Well, I think what's going to happen is we're going to end up, I think there'll be a lot of plays where maybe we play three, but it'll be like Schenker and Fromm or Schenker and Deal playing traditional tight end kind of roles and Landon King lined up as a wide receiver. I think because King is such a good receiver, and you saw him at the end of the year come on some, and you saw him at the very end of the A-Day make that big catch from Gurner, I think Landon King is going to be the guy who probably gets the most targets or right there with Schenker at the top of this list.
So what kind? We talked about this a little bit last time. What kind of formations would you go with? And aren't you going to do a lot of play action maybe? It seems like historically for Auburn, because Tuberville used this a bit, when you have the tight ends, you like to do the play action and set up the short pass to the tight end for about 10, 15 yards over the middle.
Yeah. And again, the tight end position has evolved, obviously, over time. You see a lot of these newer tight ends in the NFL that are really good receivers, but they can also do stuff in space, and they don't always line them up attached to the offensive line. We do that some with Schenker and some of these other guys, but you could line them up a couple yards off the line of scrimmage and then get them blocking out on the edge in a different way.
Yeah.
And that works. I think in some of these screens, the kind of perimeter run plays that are pretty effective at that. But also, I think Schenker is a guy who could line up even at fullback, you know, if he had to, and run the ball there or line up and be a lead blocker off the edge, kind of an H-back position.
You know, I'll say this for Harsin. For all that I loved about Gus's offense at his best, and I don't think that you and I have ever disagreed that when Gus's offense, when Gus had the players and his offense was at its best, it was fun. We enjoyed it. We enjoyed it. But this I'll say for Harsin, I have a lot more optimism that we'll see innovative formations and use of players and player packages with Harsin than I ever did with Gus. Because Gus kind of had his thing. And if he got players that didn't fit his thing, they just didn't play. Whereas with Harsin, I feel like he'll bring in some kind of a package to use all these tight ends effectively. I have more.
Yes.
I mean, may or may not, but I have more confidence in him doing it. Whereas with Gus, I know he wouldn't, because we saw it over and over and over, you know.
Yes. No, you're right. If we had the same depth chart with Gus, I would be very concerned about underutilizing these players. But
yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think we're going to use them. I think they're going to be the, you know, behind the running, behind Tank, I think they're going to be the strength of the offense.
For sure. Good video. Okay.
The last thing I want to say is I was looking at some data about targets and catches and that kind of stuff. And, you know, Schenker was the fourth leading receiver on the team and fourth in targets. And, you know, two of the guys ahead of him are gone. So only Shedrick Jackson is ahead of Schenker in terms of targets and catches returning. And, you know, you don't have to go very far down the list to get to Deal and Fromm. I think they could both definitely catch more this year. So, but, you know, Schenker caught 33 passes last year. He had 45 targets, caught 33 passes. So, he averaged 12 and a half yards a catch.
Yeah, that's incredible for a tight end, for sure.
Okay, because you don't think of him as an explosive player, right? You think of him as this big lumbering kind of dump-off guy. But I think that shows they know how to get him running down the seam and into some good positions to take advantage of him. So the other guy on this list that's kind of the chess piece that we haven't utilized is Brandon Frazier, who's the really tall kid who came in a couple years ago. He's a junior now, but he's the tallest of all of these players, and he's bulked up a little bit. He's a guy who, again, it was a pretty good receiver coming in. It'll be interesting to see if we could do something with him.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, they've got different strengths for sure. And again, I trust this coach and this staff probably more than the last one to figure that out and to better utilize it. So I'm...
Yeah, there's three things that coaches do, right, with players. You identify talent and recruit it.
Yep.
That's number one.
Yep.
And number two is you develop that talent while it's here so players get better at doing their job. And number three is the actual, you deploy them on the field, the X's and O's part.
Yeah, so you do something with it. That's right.
And
that's right.
But also, I think I'm interested to see, the first two parts, are they better at identifying players? We spent a lot of time over the years in this podcast talking about Gus and recruiting of quarterbacks at different positions. Are players getting better over the course of their careers at Auburn, especially on the offensive side of the ball? So,
yeah. All right. Well, what's our position? Coming up next time in our next installment.
I think we'll jump in and do the offensive line. Maybe we'll break it up and do, inside and outside, but maybe we'll do the whole thing. We'll see how it's going.
I tell you, this is my last word on the tight ends. We need them. We're going to need them to contribute more than tight ends have probably ever contributed for Auburn before. And I think that this group could do it.
I think they can. I think we need playmakers. And I think they could be that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly it. Before we do our next thing, I have something for you.
This is the Central Florida Golden Knights Report.
Central Florida's jerseys have QR codes instead of numbers this year, right now.
This has been the Central Florida Golden Knights Report.
I'm not making that up. I'm not making that up. They put QR codes on the jerseys instead of numbers. I'm just flabbergasted. And I'm kind of like, would Gus would have never done that at Auburn. But I like that he's willing to do it now. I don't like it, and I would not want it on my team, obviously, but I think it's interesting that he's willing to do something like that now he's at Central Florida. It's like he's liberated a little bit somehow, you know?
He's definitely liberated on the uniform piece, so sure.
QR codes, isn't that something?
They can't actually play with a QR code instead of a number.
That's what they got. Google image search. Central Florida QR code jersey. In fact, I'm going to do it too. This will be a fun bit of, this will be a fun little, fun for the listeners to see us. Yeah, there it is. Heck yeah. Bowser, Plumlee, Keene, no number, just a QR code. There it is. You see it? Put in UCF QR, and it comes right up. Code jersey. Boom.
Yeah, I'm reading it, but I'm also like, I don't think you're actually allowed to. I think the officials require you to have a number so they can say the penalties on this guy instead of the penalties on, wait, let me get my phone out.
I got to say, the referee has their phone with them. They have to run up and get a photo. Let me scan your jersey, Mr. QR.
He scans the jersey and the menu comes up from the local place. And it's
It's his NIL deal comes up when you scan the QR code. That may actually be what it is. I don't know. I don't know what you get when you scan the code on these people's jersey. I just was flabbergasted and I had to give us a Central Florida report because of it. So there you go. And now we got a special guest coming in the studio. Come on in. The door's stuck. Hold on. Let me get him in here and queue up. Wait, something's wanting to play. It's... Here! Let me in here! What's all this hootenanny going on?
Excuse me. I have an appointment. I'm supposed to be here. Excuse me. All right, you fellas, young fellas. I had to park my covered wagon out front that's going to tow me away. This is Coach Schneider. I'm back visiting my favorite two young whippersnappers, Jan and Vaughn. How you fellas doing? I want to thank you back.
You're great, Coach. Thank you.
I want to thank you for having me on your Victrola again. Good to be on here. Thank you very much. Are we going out over the Morse code this time? Or are you using the smoke signals? Which way do we go out?
Oh, Coach, you're going to love this. We're going telegraph.
Oh! So, we're talking Auburn football. Stop! Here's my report. Stop! I can do it. I can do that. That's fine. I want to make sure I let General Grant know how to tune in. He brought me down here in his covered wagon today. Well, it's been a while, Johnny. It's been a while. I reckon you all thought I'd live forever. It's not like I should be in any hurry to get me on anything. No pressure to get me on. I'll be around for a long time, you know. No pressure. But anyway, I thought I'd come on here tonight. Stop the music, fellas. What is this? Stop the thing. There we go. Now, turn it down. I got to tell you fellas how to do everything. I thought I'd do me some of my thank you notes. You know, I occasionally write letters and thank you notes to folks all over the country. I have a few thank you notes for you tonight. So here we go. You ready? You listening?
I'm ready.
Pay attention. I come through this screen and smack you upside the head. All right. Thank you, Jimbo Fisher. Thank you, Jimbo, for demonstrating that Terry Bowden could have had a long and successful Power 5 head coaching career if he'd been able to have a bunch of rich Texans legally paying for players. Thank you, Texas A&M, for giving Van COVID last year so he could lie around for 2 weeks watching movies instead of working. Well, thank you, Coach. I actually did appreciate them. Shut up! I ain't done. Be quiet, whippersnapper. I got a couple more. Thank you, American Airlines worker in Texas, who, after the Texas Bowl in January, heard me say I wanted to get back home to Manhattan in a hurry and booked me on the next flight to New York City. The wife and I had a fine time going out to dinner and seeing all the shows on the third day we were there after we figured out where we were. I'm not done. Thank you, this year's pollen crop, for teaching us all what it's like to try to breathe sand that has bad intentions. Stop that music again, I ain't done. Start it again. Start it again. There we go. All right, one more. One more. And finally, nope, I got two. Ah, you thought I was done. I got two more. Thank you, Paul Feinbaum, for continuing to take a firm stand against actual journalism and telling it not today. What does he say, John? Not today.
Not today.
Not today, journalism. Not today. Not today, you actual journalism. Stay away. And finally, you knew I wasn't going to not give him a fit. Thank you, Coach Nick Saban, for objecting to NIL and thereby saying there's a supply chain issue with Dodge Chargers without saying there's a supply chain issue with Dodge Chargers. This has been Coach Schneider. Have a good day. Goodbye. Well, he's gone. He just zipped right out the door. He's pretty spry. He's like the Six Flags dude. When he gets to going, boom, he's gone.
Thank you, Coach Schneider, for gracing us with your presence.
Ah, it's always good to hear from him, you know? I'm not sure I understood anything he said there, but it seemed like he felt strongly about it, whatever it was. But
I look forward to most of our younger listeners looking up Victrola.
I wasn't aware we were on one. That's pretty cool. Who knew?
Look, when you get one of those little round tubes and you can play the sound on it, you got to go there.
That's right. RCA, little dog listening to it. I was happy to hear that he actually got to go to New York City and see some shows. That was nice. I mean, after he figured out where he was, that's pretty cool. So, all right. Well, in any case, let's see. We have to thank our patrons that pay for this nonsense. And I will remind you folks, we did ask last episode if you wanted us to get back to doing some of our old comedy bits in the off season or just keep doing the conversation. And a handful of people replied. I take it to mean that most people didn't care either way, which is fine. But a handful of people replied. And you know, John, every single person that replied said that they did want more. And I forget who it was. It was one of our really good friends. But one of our folks replied back and said, I want more of the bits because I listened to the show for those things and the soundboard. He said, your analysis is fine, but I can get that basically from anybody. I listen for the other stuff. And I'm like, okay, so I guess we got to do all of our other stuff that we do, right? We're not just sitting here, you know, breaking down numbers all the time. We do lots of stuff. So our conversation.
And trying to make it entertaining for people.
Absolutely. All right. Well, let me thank our patrons real quick. People enjoy this part too, because you never quite know what people are going to say. You are able to put whatever you like in the name when you do your patron name, and I read it.
And I was going to say, not just put anything you like in there, put anything you like in there, and then make Van Plexico read it on the air.
That is it. That's what happens. That is correct. All right. So let me get the soundboard out of the way here so I can actually see what I'm doing. By the way, if you do want to join up, go to www.auwishbone.com, www.auwishbone.com. It's doing that stupid thing again. I can't stand it. There. Okay. www.auwishbone.com and click on the big orange button to become a patron. It's all you have to do. For as little as $1 a month, though we certainly appreciate more and many folks do more, then that'd be awesome. We have to thank, again, www.auwishbone.com, click on the big orange button. We have to thank Samuel Salvatore, who is awesome. We have to thank, where'd they go? I lost my, oh, Chris and Clinton Stewart. There they are, Chris and Clinton. Hey, guys. We have to thank Carl Von Drunker, Dr. Crackham, Patrick Hayes, and Bradley Blackman, Daniel Odom, Gary Grant, a.k.a. AU fan at KSC. By the way, a number of the folks last week had made their name a reference to the soundboard, so now you get sound effects as well as me reading stuff. That's just like, it's gone insane, basically, but that's fine. Logan Chilton, Matthew Flowers, Michael Kirshner, Phil Amthor, Richard Stevens, Steve Trawick, Susan Trawick, Trombone Tiger, Willie Carden, Ann Kangian, Ben Bloodworth, Bruce isn't harsin' around. Chris Hilton.
Please clap.
There we go. Chris Thrash, Clay Henson, Dan Thompson, David Hegler, Earl Ricks, Eric Morgan, Bobby, George Gaston. I was misinformed. We did not play Georgia State last week. Nevertheless, still.
It's Georgia State Hate Week 2021.
That's the best one.
Wait. We brought that back last week, but we didn't actually play Georgia State?
Apparently. But it's worth it. It's worth it. I'm going to go in. If I save the raw editing file for that, I can make it for anybody.
Listen, I don't care if we played Georgia State in like checkers. I want to hear about it so we can play that.
I do enjoy it. It's one of my favorites. I just threw everything but the kitchen sink into that one. But see what I'm so dumb sometimes that I'll make a sound effect like that and I'll save it as just like an MP3 file, which you can't edit, and then like delete all the pieces. And then later I'm like, oh, I should go in and use that and put a different name in. And I deleted it. All I have is the unedited thing, uneditable thing. So I had to actually rebuild that one from scratch off of sound effects. And it took like 2 hours, which is ridiculous. But anyway, I had to put everything in there. Let's see. Jacob and Robin Fleming, John Otsuki, John Ringer for president. Oh, congratulations.
Come on, man.
That's pretty cool. I'm down with it. Catherine England, Kevin Smith, Mickey B, Old Mrs. Miracle Medical Staff, Algorithm and Blues, Paul Miles, Phil Davis, Reynolds Wolf, Rich Reimer, Rusty Owens, Sarah Browns.
Smoke weed every day.
Oh, crap. This is when they're testing me to see how fast I can...
What are you? Some kind of doomsday machine, boy.
I like it. That's one of our... maybe Joel just like has two of our more popular sound effects as his name now, so you can't beat that. Steve Harlan, Theodore Gary, War Eagle Always, WDE Richie. Down. All right. I like the choice that people came up with for these. They got some good options, some good choices so far. Wes Atkinson, William Morgan, Wilson Beard, Winston Boddy, a retired Kim E. in Galveston, AU Wishbone Bracket Challenge Champion Patrick Williams.
Please clap.
There we go. Nice. Good job, Patrick. Auburn Blue, Blake Heron, sixth place Boris the Tiger, and champion of the bowl pick'em, right? Brandon Smith, Carter Glaus, Cato the Barner, Colby Butler, Corey Smyer, Darius Benton, David Simpson, Diabama, Helping Van Upgrade His Insulation, Hugh Anderson, Josh Teal, Kevin Kenoy, Kevin Mahan, Lane Middleton, Melissa Blackstone, Mike Finley, Papa Todd, Randall Walker, Rob Morgan, Russell Milling, Sarah Hines, Sasquatch. I'm going to get a sound effect for Sasquatch. Shane Bailey, Shannon Butson, Snowdog. He needs one too. Stephen Houston, Tim Pittman, Timothy, Tony Perry, Weagle 87. Insert favorite soundboard audio. I did a different one last week. I think I haven't done this one in a while.
I'm going to consume all of this at the same time because I am a free America.
There we go. Haven't gotten to use that one in a long time. AJ Herman, Alex Nguyen, Ben Amos, Ben Regis, Brian Albanese, C. Braun, Charles Mooney, Chris Como, Colonel Dad, Construction Tiger, and finally Daniel Barnett, Elizabeth Donald.
We gotta get better at celebrating.
Great season, AU Gymnastics. Oh, there's a good creative use of their Patreon name to congratulate the gymnastic Final Four.
Nice.
I want early access to the basketball book. Well, I've had early access to the basketball book, and I kind of got tired of the basketball book because I was working on that thing 3 hours a day for like 2.5 months. But I've set it aside. John's working on it some now, and in a month or two, we'll get back together with it and hammer out the final version. So I'm looking forward to that. Meanwhile, I'm working on a sword and sorcery anthology right now. I'll buy this for a dollar. James Taylor, Jason the Weasel Skull Albrick, Jeremiah Schumann, John, say it with me together, John. John Samuel Schenker.
Jingleheimer
Schmidt. There we go. John Stubbs, John Zavachin, John Soundboard, Joey Miller, Joseph Iliff, JT Jarhead, Justin Bean, Kenneth Brent Rains, a.k.a. Auburn Dad for Life. Loving Auburn means you have to
smoke weed every day.
That's what the man said. I can't gainsay him. Mark Squire, MVP Captivating Kathy Bright. Hey, Kathy, what's up? Paul Bankson, Robert Drain, Royce Alvarez, Russell Souther, Ruth and Darren Sutherland. Spanky, having trouble with my bracket. Who knows? Oh, crap, where did it go? Oh.
Someone knows. God knows.
God knows. Sports Illustrated's Auburn Elvis. I like it. Stephen Thompson, the Slinko family. This name is brought to you by Bubba's Discount Tire and Tax Services. Remember when we had the, couple of years ago, our barbecue theme was the foot massage, barbecue and foot massage or something like that? That was great. I've forgotten that one. That was a good one. I deleted all of them. I don't have them on here anymore, but it was like Bubba's Barbecue and Foot Massage. Trevor Johnson was former Auburn player Christian Tutt a king.
Now, when he was a young man, he never thought he'd see people stand in line
to see the boy king. King Tut.
How'd you get so funky? Did you do the funky?
Oh, we did plenty of King Tut stuff back in the day. Brant Rumble, Chris, plus our one-time and anonymous donors, we thank you all. And as I always like to do, I point out that when football season ends, we tend to start hemorrhaging patrons for some reason. And that's, I understand. It's not fine, but I understand it. So now, if you haven't done it before, it would be a good time to sign up and become a patron to carry us through to the next season. All right. We do not have, and I think Jared is, either Jared took a break this week, or he's going to kick himself when he listens to this episode and realizes, but I don't have a Guess the Game from him this week. Because I think 48 was the one we did last week. I think so. And I have 48. I checked the date on it. It's like April 8th. So I think that one's old. So I think we can, at this point, just go right on into...
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone podcast.
And you know, this isn't a short show tonight. We're already coming up on an hour, but it feels like things have just clicked right along here tonight. I don't know what's going on.
Been moving.
We're moving.
Been moving along.
Well, let's do it.
I do want to. I want to stump for Jared for a minute and say, if you have an idea for a Guess the Game, please send it to Jared at Yard Sale Artist. And you know, especially if you could find the clip and send it to him and say it's this point in time is the piece I want to use, that would be very helpful.
I don't remember his exact email if you're not on Twitter, but you can send it to auwishbone@gmail.com and we'll forward it to him. I won't even look at it. I'll just forward it straight to him. Yeah, I won't even look at it. That wouldn't be any fun.
All right. First question tonight. We got a couple again. We need some more good listener questions in the offseason. This is a perfect offseason question. Preston Settle it says, John and Van, have you seen the rankings for ESPN's FPI for the 25 toughest schedules ahead of the 2022 season? I knew we would be number one in the list before I clicked the link. How do we end up with the toughest schedule in NCAA football year after year?
Well, first, we were number 10 on their like ranking of top whatever teams. And I'm like, somebody at ESPN
smoke weed every day,
because I don't know any other explanation for how we're number 10 in the country, like ranking, but okay.
I think that was like number 10 on ranking designed to get Feinbaum callers to call in. So.
That certainly, because you know what he says about journalism today, John? Not today. I think it's very simple why we have the hardest schedule is because we play an SEC West schedule and Georgia. And then
and a big non-conference team.
Right. And it part of it is that we are a good SEC West team, but we're not like the top. So if we played the exact same schedule as Alabama, our schedule would be harder because we play Alabama and they play us. I mean, that kind of sucks. I'd rather be, you know, where they are than where we are, obviously. That goes without saying. But because we play Alabama and they're always so good, and we play Georgia and lately they've been really good, and then LSU's been, for the most part, good. I mean, the last few years. Yeah, we're just in the absolute worst spot that we could be in. And teams below us in the West don't play the same caliber of team, like you said. You know, like we usually open up, we have like Penn State, we've had Oregon, we've had Washington, and they'll play somebody like BYU, you know, or Cal State Fullerton or something. So, you know, yeah, we make it about as hard on ourselves as we could.
And the Georgia thing matters. There's a lot of teams in the West that miss them, and they're playing a couple, you know, we've talked about this, they're playing some softer Eastern teams, the soft underbelly of the SEC East.
Absolutely. And,
makes a big difference.
That ain't us. So, yeah.
All right. So that was a good question from Preston. And I did see the, you know, the top 10 ranking that you were talking about. And I just thought that was funny. Again, the other ranking system they have is, again, the one that Bill Connolly won, the SP Plus. And there's some validity to that. It's some, you could see kind of behind the math of how some of that works. This other one is a black box kind of thing where they put stuff in and stuff comes out and people are like, okay, I'm going to know what that means. So.
Yeah. They put an old cigar, a couple of cans of Spam, and a piece of Scotch tape in there, and it came out and said Auburn was number 10, apparently. So
that's it. At our second and final email for this evening is from Cato, the barner, who emails us, and it's an article that he clipped and pasted, and it says, Auburn softball coach Mickey Dean signs contract extension. It's an article by Philip Marshall today. And there's a Cato, you know, has been on the warpath against this particular softball coach, and he inserted a picture from like a celebrity crying, basically, a meme of a famous person crying, to go with this headline, and it says, "Thanks, Cato, the something, I don't know, man."
So let me make sure I and the other listeners that don't follow this stuff understand. We have a bad softball coach. Am I to understand that?
Well, I think we've been underachieving in softball.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And
we gave him an extension.
Great. But I think he's done better recently. Okay. We're in the middle of the pack this year. We're 7-8 right now. Okay.
So basically,
in conference,
Cato was wanting Alan Green to go to this guy and say,
"You have failed me for the last time."
But instead, he didn't, right?
Right. And so, not great. And the other thing I want to point out, baseball is actually pretty good. We're ranked in the top 20. They're fourth in the SEC. So baseball team, you know, having a pretty good season. So.
Yeah, that's been my – I don't follow the baseball that closely. I'm just not a big baseball guy. I never have been. But – though I did enjoy watching the Braves in the World Series, obviously. But I did see that our baseball team has been doing really well. And, yeah, if they get into the postseason and all that, I'll certainly watch every minute of it for sure. So that's awesome. That's really good to hear. I know they've had ups and downs over the years. I remember, Hal Baird was our – back when he was the manager and we had Frank Thomas and everything and Bo. So, yeah, I've followed Auburn baseball for a very long time, just not all that closely. I don't know much about it. It's a sport that I'm not even that super up on compared to some people. Although I did take baseball coaching class at Auburn back in the 80s.
Who was the instructor?
Who was the instructor? Coach Binkston, who taught everything in the PE curriculum, basically. I took him for football coaching, and I enjoyed that class, so I took him for baseball coaching that summer. And there was I'd never played baseball. I didn't know anything about it. And so there was this great moment. I'm out there, every time I'm throwing the ball to somebody, I'm just saying a silent prayer that it gets to them, and I don't like a complete idiot, And when they throw the ball at me, I'm just sticking my glove up and going, please go in that glove. And I was doing all right. I'd never done it before. And there was this one moment where we were, running bases, and apparently I did something wrong. And Binkston was just this crabby old guy from Minnesota. He didn't take any crap off of anybody. Big old tough guy. And he looks at me and says, "What's the matter, son? You never played this game before?" And I said, "No." I don't think he was expecting that. I don't think he was expecting no. But he was great. He used to get so mad because the athletic department would use everything that they had and wouldn't let them use anything in the PE people.
I took the rifle pellet shooting.
Oh, yeah.
PE elective at Auburn. Nice. It was taught by one of the ROTC sergeants. We'd spend an hour a week shooting pellet rifles at targets in a Quonset hut on campus. doesn't exist anymore. But
the things that we've done for credits at Auburn, John.
That's right.
I feel like we should have gotten some credits for Drink Around the World in geography or political science. We did it.
We accomplished our mission there.
That's one of the proudest achievements I have at Auburn was that you and I together over the course of a quarter did the Darnell's Drink Around the World and got the T-shirts. I was so proud. You know how many club sandwiches I had to have eaten?
It was a lot. That was the only good thing on their menu.
Yeah. Oh, we go in there every day, man, and get the club sandwich and get a couple of their exotic. I know you remember the Nordic Wolf Light. I remember we said, "This beer is so bad, you'd rather have a Nordic Wolf chew your arm off than drink it again." Oh, those were the days.
This is where we are in the offseason, okay?
It is already. We're already reminiscing about Drink Around the World. That's my fault. That's the kind of stuff we would do that, and then Denise would look at us and be just like, "What are y'all doing?" She just looked at us like, "What is y'all's problem?" And we were like, "Well, it was fun." Oh, man. All right. Well, I guess we're any last thoughts?
Enjoy spring. Get out there. Enjoy enjoy some time away from sports, and don't take everything so seriously.
Amen to that. And watch USFL. Let's keep it in the air. That's good. All right, our time is up. We thank you for yours. Wargle, John.
Wargle, man.
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at AU Wishbone and at facebook.com/AU Wishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone podcast.